going to do a kind of truncated metta-bhavana, so just two stages. Yourself and the world. Everybody's still included, but not individually, other than you. Okay. And I would like to take a couple of deeper breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. Just to freshen up the body a bit. Your face relax. You have a sense of your back, the length of your back. If you can find the breath in the back of your body. So imagine just coming into the heart from behind, as it were. When I say the heart, we can include the sort of lungs, the sort of heart and lungs. So we're going to try and find a voice, an internal voice. I want you to try and imagine in the heart center. I want you to imagine this as a loving, strong, loving voice. To imagine this by saying some words of your own choice. Guys are encouraging of having love for yourself. just expressing love for yourself. Imagining these words in the heart, may I love myself deeply. Fearlessly. To see what your heart offers. It might offer an image or a feeling. I fully open my heart. May I fully realize the preciousness of this life. We're trying to stay with the heart. Very gently and very slowly in the out breath, just imagine the heart filled as a bird. Very gently expanding outward in all directions. The heart energy just going in to the world around you. Might or might not want to find some words. The same loving voice. Direct out the world. Or maybe it's just an energetic kind of expansion out into the world. May I be of service to the world. May I support life. May I allow myself to be supported by life. going to end by doing a very simple little exercise. So just trying to imagine breathing in from behind the heart, through the back into the heart, and then breathing out in the front of the heart, and breathing in from the front through the heart and out through the back. And in from the back and out from the front. And in through the front and out from the back. And so on. Sort of breathing in the love of the world and breathing out our love for the world. And that's just keep the posture and just stop doing anything.
So I know sometimes it's hard to be verbal after the meditation, but we do have space for a bit of inquiry, question and answers. Hopefully you know the drill by now. If you want to say something, you can just unmute yourself. And if you'd rather, you could post something in the chat, either publicly or privately, to Pranyanita, who can read it out. We've been talking about a lot. We've been leading lots of different kinds of meditations. Just interested in how they've been landing, or maybe what's coming out of those for some of you. What you notice, maybe what works, what doesn't work, what challenges you've had, what successes you've had.
I have a question, if I might you push back.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. This was about in regards to the talk this morning, looking at body, speech, and mind, and how that was unpacked, as it were. And it reminded me of how in some traditions in Japan, they talk about body, speech, and mind as the three mysteries, which they also talk about in China. And I was wondering if either you, Paramananda, or Bodhilila, think the notion of mysteries or magic in terms of us, our unfolding in meditation and practice, are terms that you would use or that you might think are helpful?
Yeah. Well, I'd certainly go for mystery. I'm not quite so sure about magic. I mean, yeah. I'd certainly go for mystery because I think actually, I know Buddhism's got an analysis of reality, so to speak, but it seems to me it is a total mystery, really. And it is that our own lives are a terrible mystery. I mean, I think I'm reminded in the pre-Socratic Greek philosophy, one of the kind of principal kind of ideas was this, a philosophy kind of based on a sense of awe. You know, so there was this sort of sense that actually this idea that we could at least that you could conceptually grasp life or reality, whatever you want to call it, you know, was a sort of hubris, you know, was a conceit, you know, and actually our philosophy was kind of based on it, when I say awe, it was sort of like a reverence, you know, and, you know, personally, I sort of feel we've losing that, we've kind of disenchanted the world, you know, stripped it of its mystery, and in a sense, we've stripped it of its soul or psyche. And I mean, this is such, it seems to me this is such a vital issue at the moment, which it wasn't such a vital issue in the time of the Buddha or something. One, because they experience the world as having mystery and psyche. And two, they weren't on the brink of a complete ecological collapse. And I think for us now, unless we kind of re-enchant the world, you know, unless we start to feel that the world has a value rather than being a commodity, you know. You know, I think it's kind of vital that some fundamental shift. And actually, I think that shift is towards mystery, really, of accepting the sacred mystery of the whole thing. I'm not putting this very well, but anyway, sure, aren't you? I think mystery, I'm not. That's the magic. It kind of depends what you mean by magic. I mean, I've always been a little bit stupid about magic, because it quite often seems to be about power, you know, having power. Being able to make things happen. You know, it's a bit like Miller Ripper, isn't it? As a young man involved with sorcery, you know. I won't go there, but you probably know the story of Miller Ripper. I'm a little bit dubious about the word magic, but I think all the important things in life are a mystery, really, aren't they? You know, love and beauty. I mean, they can't be rationally contained or explained. I think one of the biggest mysteries for me, which I find very useful, actually, is this idea of, well, why am I here? You know, why has the universe chosen to best as me? What's required of me? What's being asked of me by the universe? I would say, I'm not expecting to get a answer, but I think that question, you know, why has reality manifested up as you, as me? What's going on, you know? And what kind of responsibility does that give us? Yeah, what's the point of it? What's going on? Anyway, I'll shut up now. Very little of my stomach to say about mystery.
I think you've said
all magic.
Well, for me, there's something about mystery, and I think when you use the imagination, the creative approach, or when you listen to your body or your heart, there's so much that is mysterious, isn't it? And we try to make sense or control the world by making sense of it. And I think that's that little mind, that ego consciousness that's trying to do that. You know, so I find it quite interesting reading various things by neuroscientists where they're sort of like doing all the experiments and, you know, they can map the mind and they can see what hormones are being released and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but a lot of it is just confirming stuff that experientially people have sort of known for many, many years. And it kind of reduces it sometimes when you try and do that. And it's something that we try and do with lots of things, I think. They don't know where the mind is, actually. They can't say or pinpoint a part of their physical body or physiology where the mind is. The mind is a mystery.
Problem of mind, yeah. Why the hell is it?
You know, and, the, you know, same with the body, all the different things. But, you know, they might unlock a DNA chain and various other things, and there's all the stuff they're doing with stem cells and all that. But the whole entirety of bodies and things.
Well, DNA is a total mystery. I mean, that's the thing about science, is they're good at describing things, and maybe even how things work, but it doesn't really say why. DNA is an amazingly mysterious thing, isn't it? That every living thing shares the same basic code. I mean, what? That came out of nothing. It's completely bonkers.
Yeah. But it is a bit scary, though, you know, like they're able to program souls to change what they do and things like that now. Anyway.
Well, they're manipulating the DNA, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the DNA that does it. I mean, well, they're manipulating it. Yeah, yeah. No, it is a bit.
Anyway, what I was, I've lost what I was going to say actually.
Sorry.
But yeah, I think there's something, you know, when we meditate, so much of what we're experiencing is beyond words and concepts, you know. And, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to do a meditation journal, and you write down something you remember or something, but there's so much else that happened in that sit that you haven't even conceived of to be even able to write down. And I think there's all those hidden depths and heights. And I think that's one of the things that's so amazing about meditation is there is a mystery. You know, I've been meditating for 30 years. I don't know what's going to happen when I sit down. And afterwards, I still don't know what happened, really. And there can be that sense of mystery and awe as well. So I think, you know, it's helpful to have tools, techniques, forms, structures, teachings, but they don't encapsulate everything. They just kind of point to certain aspect or certain something that may be helpful. And then when we try and fix things, maybe informed by those, that's when we get into a mess, really. But if we can be more open, be more receptive, part of that is being open to the mystery and the not knowing. So I don't know if that answers your question at all. I don't really know. I mean, I like watching and reading books about magic. And I know there's lots of different schools of magic and things like that. And there is something about magic which is about your will, being able to direct your will and that having an effect. But there's also a whole lot of magical traditions that are very much in tune with nature and all that kind of stuff. So I guess it depends whether you want to use it in a cliche Hollywood way to get power over the whole universe or not. Anyway.
Well, you know what the Buddha said about magic, don't you? Sorry, I'm only teasing you.
Tell us what the Buddha said about magic, Paramananda.
I've got no idea, but he wasn't keen on any of that stuff, was he? You know, he was quite down on any of that sort of stuff.
Well, I think he thought it was irrelevant, didn't he, in terms of one's spiritual practice?
Well, I think he thought it was often, whether it's a Buddha or not, you know, in later Buddhism, it's more than irrelevant. It was seen as a hindrance. Yeah. Yeah.
But then, sorry.
But like Dave Vedanta, you know, even though you've probably made up quite a long time after the Buddha, or made up being a baddie, but I mean, he was the most, you know, along with trying to murder the Buddha, he actually had the most psychic power. Oh, he changed himself into a snake and stuff. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But then you've got Padmasambhava, who's full of magical transformations. Anyway. I can see that Pat has raised her hand. So, Pat, is there something? <to say? laughs>
Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to ask about the concept of being loved by the world or by the universe.
Mm.
Having been brought up in the Christian faith, it seemed to be coming close to their ideas of being loved it's hard for us to conceive of being loved without attaching that to a being.
Is it?
Well, perhaps not. I mean, being loved by the universe, to say that would suggest that the universe is first and foremost composed of love and loving kindness. And yet it, you know, from the scientific point of view, it seems to be a whole load of rather inhospitable rocks and burning burning gases. And so I'd like some light shone on the idea of being loved by the universe.
Well, I suppose I see it quite a simple kind of way, really, is that it's manifest you, hasn't it?
It has, yes.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You know, that it can be bothered to manifest you. There's something, doesn't it? I mean, of course, this is just a way of speaking, you know, it's not going to stand up to so-called scientific truth, but scientific truth, as I say, doesn't really explain anything. It just gives you the mechanics of it, doesn't it? You know, it's just a way of saying, you know, it's just about manifestation, really. The universe, let's forget the universe. Just say the Earth, you know. Okay. If we think of the Earth as a kind of complete kind of system in itself, having some kind of consciousness in itself, again, it's manifest you, hasn't it? Reality somehow, whatever we mean by this word reality, it's manifest me and it's manifest you and it's manifest all these animals and trees. And so I suppose, yeah, that I suppose what is love if not supporting something coming into being? I don't know. But of course, it's just a way of speaking, isn't it? Which isn't going to, you know, it's not going to stand up to, as I say, a kind of scientific, it's a poetic or, you know.
Yeah.
But the big difference between the Christian idea, I mean, the problem with the Christian idea is you've got a kind of creator, which is some, I mean, I know in some, certainly in mystic Christianity, this is the case, but in traditional theology, you have something that's created the universe rather than it being self-creating, you know? So I think that's quite a big difference, actually, you know. So what I'm talking about is the idea that you've got reality self-creating. It's not got something else that's created it. And maybe it doesn't really make any sense to call that love, but I think that's a choice we can make, you know, if it appeals to us.
Well, it does appeal, yes. I mean, the older I get, the more I think that the world is such an amazingly wonderful, beautiful place. And I'm very happy to be filled with love for it. But the notion that it loves me, I suppose, well, I think I'm going to...
But you are part of it, aren't you? This is.
I am. Yes, I am. Yeah.
So if you love it, why shouldn't it love you? You're part of it, aren't you? It's produced you that's capable of loving what you're calling it, but it's not it, it's you. The world is as much you as anything else, isn't it?
Well, I think probably that comes back to notions of worthiness and unworthiness.
Mm.
But you have invited you've invited us to get rid of those.
Well, you are worthy because you're here, aren't you?
I am.
The universe, or whatever you want to call it, Earth, or, you know, has deemed you worthy of being created, coming into being. I'm reminded of there's a well-known story about the Dalai Lama when he first left Tibet and started teaching in Europe. I suppose it was in the 60s. And the big thing in the 60s was there was all these people going around doing workshops on self-esteem and stuff. You know, self-esteem was like the buzzword. And he was saying when he kept getting asked these questions about self-esteem, and he said he didn't know what people were talking about. He just didn't understand what they were talking about. Yeah. He said in Tibet, people think that they are precious, because they exist as a human being, and what a wonderful thing that is, you know. But they don't have this, they might be poor, they might have other problems, but they didn't have a problem with self-esteem. And
I think
this is the problem of our culture, isn't it, where everything competitive and everything, you know, we don't have this space. I mean, I think what you're saying is so true. I think so many of us just do not have a healthy sense of self, you know.
Yeah.
But I think we can do something about that.
Yes, I walked in the Himalayas with a Tibetan guide many years ago, and yes, he had no problems with self-esteem and love for himself and the world.
I don't think people like that do. I don't think many indigenous cultures have that problem.
Okay, I'm going to.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to see if we can just close. No, if there's any last thing that needs to be said in that exchange, because we do want to do a ritual, and there won't be time if we don't stop, basically. So is there anything else you wanted to say, Pat? Or
no, thank you very much. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Pat. Nice.
Maybe if I can just say, I've got a couple of questions in the chat box, so I'll share that with Bodhilila and Paramanda later. So maybe we'll have the opportunity to address that tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you. Off the door now. Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like saying a poem just because of that conversation before we go into the ritual. The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the woodrake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and I'm free. So we're going to end with a ritual, a puja, where we're basically expressing gratitude, appreciation to the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, our spiritual life, and connecting with our inspiration, our aspiration. So some of you may be familiar with ritual. Some of you may be familiar with the Sevenfold Puja, and some of you may be new. So just to say that we're looking at a lot of key practices within Triratna, and Sevenfold Puja is a key practice from the time the committee started, partly because the founder, Sangharakshita, felt it was important that we also engaged our hearts, our imaginations, through devotional practice and ritual. And he talked about the language of the depths, that we can't get there with just our rational mind. He does talk about that, and that our unconscious and emotional stuff that responds more to symbol, image, mantra, emotion is vital to bring us on the path. So a puja in a way is a practice, just like meditation is a practice, just like ethics is a practice, or mantra chanting is a practice. And one of the things that we're cultivating through that practice is faith, our heart response, our receptivity, our spiritual receptivity to the teachings and to spiritual qualities. And it's a way of engaging with body, speech, and mind, actually. Normally, you would be going up and making offerings with your body. You'll be doing chanting, which is also with your body. You're using words and obviously you're engaging with your mind. So it is a practice of body, speech, and mind that is encouraging us to open not just to our rational mind, but to all the things that might be stirred up. And certainly for me, I find when I do a puja, there's a whole emotional journey that I'm on during the practice, and also by the end of it, my energy is in a very different place because it does stir up or free energy for me. I think it also helps me to get out of small mind into big mind, connecting with something much bigger. Having said that, we all have different feelings about ritual. I know that when I first engaged with ritual, I was very unreceptive to it, but now it's become a key part of my practice. So I'll just say that the Sevenfold Puja has got seven sets of verses. They're taken from a translation from a text called the Bodhicharyavatara, which is about the way of life if you were an enlightenment being, a bodhisattva, and the kind of values. It's got loads and loads of verses. This just takes a few, and it's, you know, translated, very early translation from the time when there weren't any around actually in Britain. There were just like one, I think, and then this other one that somebody else was doing that Sangharakshita came across. So it might not make immediate sense, some of the words. If you've been practicing, it probably makes more sense because you can see them in context, but just, it's an invitation just to surrender to the process. Engage in it. It won't make you a Buddhist, but you might enjoy it. Yeah, or you might find yourself reacting to it, and that's just something to notice and see what's like. Just as, you know, if you're doing a meditation, stuff might come up. Doing a ritual, stuff might come up. Yeah, feelings, thoughts, stuff in your body. Just note it. So we're going to do it in call and response. So I'll be saying the words, and then Paramananda will be also saying the words. It's got some mantras in it. So there'll be Pranyanita doing Shakyamuni mantra after the worship verses. If we have time, I might bring in the Padmasambhava, but at the end there are some mantras from different Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that we just do three times in a row to kind of connect with them, evoke them. So if you want to get yourselves comfortable, and again, just it's up to you whether you join in or you don't join in, but why not? Live dangerously. Who knows what will happen? Sevenfold Puja. Firstly, worship. With Mandarava, blue lotus, and jasmine.
With Mandarava, blue lotus, and jasmine.
With all flowers pleasing and fragrant.
with all flowers pleasing and fragrant.
And with garlands skillfully woven.
And with garlands skillfully woven.
I pay honour to the princes of the sages.
I pay honour to the princes of the sages.
So worthy of veneration.
So worthy of veneration.
I envelop them in clouds of incense.
I envelop them in clouds of incense.
Sweet and penetrating.
Sweet and penetrating.
I make them offerings of food, hard and soft.
I make them offerings of food, hard and soft.
And pleasing kinds of liquids to drink.
And pleasing kinds of liquids to drink.
I offer them lamps encrusted with jewels.
I offer them lamps encrusted with jewels.
Festooned with golden lotus.
Festooned with golden lotus.
On the paving sprinkled with perfume.
On the paving sprinkled with perfume.
I scatter handfuls of beautiful flowers.
I scatter handfuls of beautiful flowers.
Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Shakya Muni Swaha. Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Shakya Muni Swaha. Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Shakya Muni Swaha. Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Shakya Swaha. Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Shakya Muni 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 Swaha. Thank you.
Salutation. As many atoms as there are.
As many atoms as there are.
In the 1,000,000,000 worlds.
In the 1,000,000,000 worlds.
So many times I make reverent salutation.
So many times I make reverent salutation.
To all the Buddhas of the three eras.
To all the Buddhas of the three eras.
To the Siddharma.
To the Siddharma.
And to the excellent community.
And to the excellent community.
I pay homage to all the shrines.
I pay homage to all the shrines.
And places in which the Bodhisattvas have been.
And places in which the Bodhisattvas have been.
I make profound obeisance to the teachers.
I make profound obeisance to the teachers.
And those to whom respectful salutation is due.
And those to whom respectful salutation is due.
Going for refuge. This very day.
This very day.
I go for my refuge.
I go for my refuge.
To the powerful protectors.
To the powerful protectors.
Whose purpose is to guard the universe.
Whose purpose is to guard the universe.
The mighty conquerors who overcome suffering everywhere.
The mighty conquerors who overcome suffering everywhere.
Wholeheartedly also I take my refuge.
Wholeheartedly also I take my refuge.
In the Dharma they have ascertained.
In the Dharma they have ascertained.
Which is the abode of security.
Which is the abode of security.
Against the rounds of rebirth.
Against the rounds of rebirth.
Likewise in the host of Bodhisattvas.
Likewise in the host of Bodhisattvas.
I take my refuge.
I take my refuge.
Refuges and precepts. Namo Tassa.
Namo Tassa.
Bhagavato arahato.
Bhagavato arahato.
Sama sambuddhasa.
Sama sambuddhasa.
Namo tassa.
Namo tassa.
Bhagavato arahato.
Bhagavato arahato.
Sama sambuddhasa.
Dhamma Sambuddhasa.
Namo Tassa.
Namo Tassa.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Bhagavato Arahato.
Sama Sambuddhasa.
Dhamma Sambuddhasa.
Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Buddham saranam gacchami.
Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Sangham saranam gacchami.
Sangham saranam gacchami.
Duchampi Buddham saranam gacchami.
Duchampi Buddham saranam gacchami.
Duchampi Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Duchampi Dhammam saranam gacchami.
Duchampi Sangham saranam gacchami.
Duchampi Sangham saranam gacchami.
Tatyampi Buddham saranam gacchami.
Tatyampi Buddhang Saranam Gacchami.
Tatyampi Dhammang Saranam Gacchami.
Tatyampi Dhammang Saranam Gacchami.
Tatyampi Sanghang Saranam Gacchami.
Tatyampi Sanghang Saranam Gacchami.
Anatipata.
Anatipata.
Veramani.
Veramani.
Sikkhapadam.
Sikkhapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Adinadana.
Adinadana.
Veramani.
Veramani.
Sikkhapadam.
Sikkhapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Kamesu.
Kamesu.
Vichachara.
Vichachara.
Veramani.
Veramani.
Sikkhapadam.
Sikkhapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Musavada.
Musavada.
Veramani.
Veramani.
Sikkhapadam.
Sikkhapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Suramariya.
Suramariya.
Majja.
Majja.
Amadatana.
Amadatana.
Veramani.
Veramani.
Sikkhapadam.
Sikkhapadam.
Samadhiyami.
Samadhiyami.
Sadhu.
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 With deeds of loving kindness.
With deeds of loving kindness.
I purify my body.
I purify my body.
With open-handed generosity.
With open-handed generosity.
I purify my body.
I purify my body.
With stillness.
With stillness.
Simplicity.
Simplicity.
And contentment.
And contentment.
I purify my body.
I purify my body.
With truthful communication.
With truthful communication.
I purify my speech.
I purify my speech.
With mindfulness clear and radiant.
With mindfulness clear and radiant.
I purify my mind.
I purify my mind.
Confession of faults. The evil that I have heaped up.
The evil which I have heaped up.
Through my ignorance and foolishness.
Through my ignorance and foolishness.
Evil in the world of everyday experience.
Evil in the world of everyday experience.
As well as evil in understanding and intelligence.
As well as evil in understanding and intelligence.
All that I acknowledge to the protectors.
All that I acknowledge to the protectors.
Standing before them.
Standing before them.
With hands raised in reverence.
With hands raised in reverence.
And terrified of suffering.
And terrified of suffering.
I pay salutations again and again.
I pay salutations again and again.
May the leaders receive this kindly.
May the leaders receive this kindly.
Just as it is with its many faults.
Just as it is with its many faults.
What is not good, O protectors?
What is not good, O protectors?
I shall not do again.
I shall not do again.
Rejoicing in merit. I rejoice with delight.
I rejoice with delight.
In the good done by all beings.
In the good done by all beings.
Through which they obtain rest.
Through which they obtain rest.
With the end of suffering.
With the end of suffering.
May those who have suffered be happy.
May those who have suffered be happy.
I rejoice in the release of beings.
I rejoice in the release of beings.
From the sufferings of the rounds of existence.
From the sufferings of the rounds of existence.
I rejoice in the nature of the Bodhisattva.
I rejoice in the nature of the Bodhisattva.
And the Buddha.
And the Buddha.
Who are protectors.
Who are protectors.
I rejoice in the arising of the will to enlightenment.
I rejoice in the arising of the will to enlightenment.
And the teaching.
And the teaching.
Those oceans that bring happiness to all beings.
Those oceans that bring happiness to all beings.
And are the abode of welfare of all beings.
And are the abode of welfare of all beings.
Entreaty and supplication. Saluting them with folded hands.
Saluting them with folded hands.
I entreat the Buddhas in all the quarters.
I entreat the Buddhas in all the quarters.
May they make shine the lamp of the Dharma.
May they make shine the lamp of the Dharma.
For those wandering in the suffering of delusion.
For those wandering in the suffering of delusion.
With hands folded in reverence.
With hands folded in reverence.
I implore the conquerors desiring to enter Nirvana.
I implore the conquerors desiring to enter Nirvana.
May they remain here for endless ages.
May they remain here for endless ages.
So that life in this world does not grow dark.
So that life in this world does not grow dark.
The Heart Sutra. The Bodhisattva of compassion, when he meditated deeply, saw the emptiness of all five skandhas and sundered the bonds that caused him suffering. Hear then, form is no other than emptiness, emptiness no other than form. Form is only emptiness, emptiness only form. Feeling, thought, and choice, consciousness itself, are the same as this. All things are by nature void. They are not born or destroyed, nor are they stained or pure, nor do they wax or wane. So, in emptiness, no form, no feeling, thought, or choice, nor is there consciousness. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. No colour, sound, smell, taste, touch, or what the mind takes hold of. Not even active senses. No ignorance or end of it. Nor all that comes of ignorance. No withering, no death, no end of them. Nor is there pain or cause of pain, or cease in pain, or noble path to lead from pain, not even wisdom to attain. Attainment too is emptiness. So know that the Bodhisattva, holding to nothing whatever, is freed of delusive hindrance, rid of the fear bred by it, and reaches clearest nirvana. All Buddhas of past and present, Buddhas of future time, using this pranya wisdom, come to full and perfect vision. Hear then the great Dharani, the radiant, peerless mantra, the pranya paramita whose words allay all pain. Hear and believe its truth. Gate gate paragate parasangate buddhiswaha. Gate gate paragate parasangate buddhiswaha. Gate gate paragate Arasangate Bodhiswaha. Transference of merit and self-surrender. May the merit gained.
May the merit gained.
In my acting thus.
In my acting thus.
Go to the alleviation of the suffering of all beings.
Go to the alleviation of the suffering of all beings.
My personality throughout my existences.
My personality throughout my existences.
My possessions.
My possessions.
And my merit in all three ways.
And my merit in all three ways.
I give up without regard to myself.
I give up without regard to myself.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
Just as the earth and other elements.
Just as the earth and other elements.
Are serviceable in many ways.
Are serviceable in many ways.
To the infinite number of beings.
To the infinite number of beings.
Inhabiting limitless space.
Inhabiting limitless space.
So may I become.
So may I become.
That which maintains all beings.
That which maintains all beings.
Situated throughout space.
Situated throughout space.
So long as all have not attained.
So long as all have not attained.
To peace.
Peace.
Om Mani Padme Hum.
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 Om Om Mani Padme Hum.
Om Maripajanadi.
Om Maripajanadi.
Om Maripajanadi.
Om Maripajanadi.
Om Maripajanadi.
Om Maripajanadi.
Om Vajrapani Hum.
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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tue Swaha.
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 Om Amide Vahri.
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 Om Muni Muni Mahamuni. Shakya Muni Swaha.
Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Shakya Muni Swaha.
Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Shakya Muni Swaha.
Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Shakyamuni Swaha.
Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Shakyamuni Swaha.
Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Shakyamuni Swaha.
Om Mahum Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hum.
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 Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhiswaha.
Gate gate par gate par sangate bodhiswaha.
Gate gate par gate par sangate bodhiswaha.
Gate gate par gate. Sangate Bodhiswaha.
Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha.
Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
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 Shanti. Okay, so that brings today to a close. I hope to see you all tomorrow for the final day of the retreat. So I'll be having the usual 8 o'clock meditation, 10:30. I'll be leading a session with a particular looking at just sitting, and yeah, then we'll have a 4 o'clock session. We'll be doing a bit of reporting out as well to close the retreat. So it'd be really great if you could be there. Have a good evening. Thanks for practicing. Go well.